that song that you took it all for us, Lord. And we do thank you for the burden that you carried for us, Lord. The sin that you carried for us, Lord, and the price that you paid. Lord, we just thank you for being in our midst here tonight. And Lord, we want to lift up our pastor to you, Pastor Mark and Sherry and their grandson Jonathan, as they are in Hawaii right now. Lord, we pray that they are having a blessing of a time as they lay on the beach and feel the breeze and the ocean. Lord, is that fair? We think it is, Lord. We thank you for your beautiful world here, Lord, and that you created, Lord. And we pray they're having a blessing there and just glorifying your name, Lord. What a blessing is that we can sit and stand here tonight and be praying for our pastor. So, Lord, bless him, protect him, and bring him back safely to us, Lord. And also I'd like to lift up Pastor Mike Mottlemog, who had a surgery this week and had a few setbacks, Lord, and is still in the hospital. We pray for complete healing upon his body, Lord. Why don't we take some time now, and for those that feel led to say a short prayer to the Lord, why don't we do that? Thank you for these blessed saints. Blessed are the prayers of the saints, Lord. And Lord, it's so obvious that there's a lot of need out here tonight, Lord. And Father, you are so truthful and so good to be here with us, to hear these prayers, Lord, and to help us through the times that each one of us face. Lord, how we need you so much, Father. I just feel through the prayers that we all here understand that it's very clear that there's only one place to go and one God to serve, and that is with you, Lord, and that you can take care of all our needs. The scripture says that you can take care of all the burdens that we have. We just have to go to you, Lord. And so we do come to you with these prayers, and we pray that you just continue to bless them, Lord. And I ask for those that may not be feeling too good here tonight, that you would touch their lives and heal them, Lord, and that they would look to you to be the strength of their life. So, Father, now we come to you and ask that you would bless your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, Lord. And that this may be a night of learning and praising and glorifying your name. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Good evening, everybody, and welcome. Well, how you doing? God bless you. Good to be here. You know, in our life, as being Christians, it's not always an easy life. As a matter of fact, the closer you get to the Lord, you'll find the tougher it gets. Amen? And through the trials and tribulations, the Bible says that's a time of learning, that we need to learn. And as we grow in the Lord, and hopefully we grow in the Lord, we continue to learn in Him, to try to understand what He has for us. And let's face it, we are different. We are set apart from those that don't know the Lord. And yet, we need to continue in understanding that, to have a certain attitude as Christians. That it doesn't mean that we're better than anyone else or that we hold that above them. But that all our message is about love of Jesus Christ, and to witness to people in that love and to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. Amen? So we grow and we grow, and along the way we hit those rough times. And what I want to talk about tonight, I think, is is one of those areas that we can fall into a trap, that we can have a certain attitude because we are Christians. And I think we'll find out tonight that we have a stern warning from the Lord, that we have to be very careful the way we approach this area. And most of all, we need to see what Jesus in this Bible tells us about particular things. And what I want to talk tonight about is judging. Becoming a judge, being judgmental. Now we hear that word, and it's not a great word to be hearing sometimes, but it's something that we need to be encouraged about, something that we need to understand. And I think the Lord will speak to us tonight through His Word about that very thing. It's something that I think we all do, but we don't do it very good. There are times we'll learn tonight where we have to make judgments. But I think there are times that we cross the line. And that's one of the things in my life as a Christian I've seen through the years. And I myself am involved in that area. So I want to look tonight at that word judging and see what the Lord has to say about it. Are we to judge? Are we to be judgmental? If so, how are we to be judged or judged and looked at? What does the Lord say about this? First, I want to look at a definition of a judge to capture that word. And in the Greek, it means to properly distinguish. That is, decide mentally or judicially, by implication to try, to punish, to avenge, to conclude, to damn, to decree, to determine, to esteem, to ordain, to call in question. The mental ability to perceive and distinguish relationships. To have discernment. To form an opinion or estimation of, or carefully afterwards consider. Now, we know there are judges that have authority to judge in courts. And as we look at that, a judge is one capable of hopefully making rational, dispassionate, and wise decisions. A public official vested with the authority to hear, determine, and preside over legal matters brought in court. And that's law. To hear and decide on are in the court of law, to judge a case, to pass sentence on, to condemn. A judge makes a judgment that leaves nothing further at times to be done on a matter except execution. Now, a lot of that definition we can see has to do with a person that is a judge in a court of law. I also want to look back, if you'll turn with me, in the book of Numbers, in chapter 27, we're going to be starting at verse 12. Looking at a biblical reference to what a judge might be, as you're turning back, back in the biblical days, a judge would be a magistrate, a ruler, rather than one who judges in the sense of trying a case. Now, this is the name given to those rulers who preside over affairs, or did preside over affairs of the Israelites during the interval between the death of Joshua and the ascension of Paul in the book of Judges. And that was a period of general anarchy and confusion. But I want to go back a little farther as we have reached the book of Numbers and give you another instance of judgment where we see here, starting in verse 12, in chapter 27, we will see that there's going to be a change of leadership. This is a time where Moses is coming to the end of his life. And as we read here, the Lord says to Moses in verse 12, "Go up into this mount and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters at Meribah, at Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Now, as I mentioned, this is the end of going to the end of Moses' life. And although God would not allow Moses to enter into land, he would, by his grace, allow Moses to see the land while he was alive. There's another study there that we do see that he does enter the promised land, but at this time, he gets to see it from afar. And we see the reason that God says about his rebellious time was the time when he went to that rock and his frustration had smote that rock twice. And we can see that that's what the Lord's talking about. When the Lord just wanted him to speak to that rock, he went too far. So here we are at this time, and we enter to verse 15. Says, then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. So Moses' concern was for the well-being of the community, of course, and not for himself, and is saying who would lead Israel after his death. Verse 18, and the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. Now there was a possible two candidates here, a Caleb and Joshua, but the Lord had chosen Joshua. And as we read on here, as the Lord is setting an order, he's setting the leadership up, and the judging up, and the judgment up, as the order comes into play, he tells him to take Joshua and to pray over him, and set him before Eleazar the priest to show all the congregation. The Lord is instructing Moses to present Joshua to the congregation so that there will be no power struggle after his death. Now also, the chief priest comes in. This is a priest that assisted Moses during his time, Eleazar, whose name means God has helped. He is the third son of Aaron, and he's also of the ancestry of Joseph. And if you go to the book of Matthew in chapter 1, you will see just a few names away from Jesus, he is in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here is the chief priest that is going to be a part of this leadership. Verse 20, now, the Lord says, you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim and the Thummim. His word they shall go out, and his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, and all the congregation. So their authority was limited by law alone, and in doubtful cases, the Lord is saying that there would be judgment directed through the priest by the Urim and the Thummim. Now those names mean lights and perfection. And what would happen in difficult cases, at certain times, the theory is that these Urim and Thummim were precious stones and could have been stones that were in the breastplate of the chief priest. And so again, the theory might be that he would, at times there was a judgment to be known, would cast these out like dice and roll out these stones, these precious stones. And somehow the will of God would be revealed through a judgment. So we can see, even back at those times, God had his ways that judgment would come forth. Now, looking up to our level, and looking up to a personal note, and God always speaks to us, doesn't he? As even we look thousands of years before in the Bible, and lessons to be learned, they're the same lessons that we need to learn. Amen? They're the same things we need to look at and the same things we need to take from the Bible as was taught back then. But as we look at being judging or passing judgment, I think that through the years we seem to be at times qualified to take on a responsibility. I mean, as a people in this universe, we seem to take on a judging of an everyday people in everything. We judge at times our families, our neighbors, right on to the President of the United States. We look and we form opinions and we make judgments. I think on a worldly basis, I think the media has been a tremendous force in passing information on that we see as watching TV or watching the news, and we hear something and right away we form opinions. We all do it. We've heard back at 9/11 where a certain part of the media or people would come out, and from 9/11 to the Iraq war on a big scale as that, people saying that the president lied right from the start. And that he lied and he knew about 9/11, or he's lying about the Iraq war. And if you stop and think, you have to say, where do these people get their information? How do they know this? But what happens? You talk to someone and they believe what they're hearing. And there's no research into it. We look at certain cases, which is very popular on TV, when we look at maybe a murder case. Let's say the O.J. Simpson case years ago. And each one of us, don't tell me you didn't, formed an opinion on whether you thought he was guilty or not guilty. Just recently, in this child molestation situation with Michael Jackson, don't tell me that we didn't watch a part of that case or hear about it or read in the newspaper, and we immediately formed a judgment against Michael Jackson. I myself have troubles. I have troubles and get very confused and struggle with decisions. But as we see in the scriptures, as everything we do, we need to first turn it over to God. Amen? We need to look to God for these situations when they are before us. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, I love this verse that really, in a general way, tells us who's in charge. I was surfing the channel a month or so ago and watching this mystery movie, and one of the characters just spouted out this verse. He said, for God, and this is in verse 14, you don't have to turn there, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 14 says, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Well, that's good to know, isn't it? I mean, that covers it all. God is the judge, and he's going to be the judge of all in every secret thing. So that's why we need to understand what the Lord has for us. We need to put things in perspective. I think a big one as a Christian, and again, I think we all fall into this, and that we have to be very, very careful of this. As Christians, as you grow and time goes by, we seem to notice other religions or other people, and we seem to form a judgment right away whether, no, I don't think that person knows the Lord. Well, he comes from a certain church, so I don't think they know the Lord. You know, I think we have the right kind of heart. I think that our heart is there and we care about the unsaved. But again, as I mentioned before, I think there's times where we flat out make a judgment and we really don't know about the situation. And again, we have to be very careful on this. For instance, we see someone, we have a very close friend, his name is Jesse, who's from the Church of Christ. And I know that there are people that look at someone from the Church of Christ, and right away, their antennas go up. And they seem to be suspect. And right away, they may say, well, I don't think because they go to the Church of Christ, they know the Lord. Well, I'll tell you, our friend Jesse, who is a counselor in our family, and we've known for many, many years, Linda and I have gone to him for years and personal things on concerning our whole family. And when we go to him, and he counsels us many, many times, he throws nothing but Scripture at us. Nothing but. And Linda and I will sit there for 2 or 3 hours and wish we had a tape recorder because we are so blown away by the Scripture because he answers every question we have with Scripture. And nobody can tell me, because he goes to the Church of Christ, that he doesn't know the Lord. When the movie The Passion came out, Mel Gibson, Catholic, the antennas go up. Right away, many Christians formed opinion about Mel Gibson because of his religious background. Well, I don't know about you, but when the movie opened, and my wife and I went and saw that movie, The Passion, the first thing that came up on that screen was these words. He was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. I was gone right then. And as that movie went on, and I watched intently, and cried through that whole thing, as many of us did. By the end of that movie, nobody could tell me that whoever made that movie wasn't a Christian. You can't just make a movie like that unless you know the Lord. And I heard other Christians question Mel Gibson, you know, we need to pray for him because he's Catholic, and so we don't know if he knows the Lord. I heard him say on a television interview that for years he fellowshipped the sufferings of Christ to make that movie. That is so scriptural, my friend. The man knows Jesus. So again, we have to be very careful in who we judge. And when I say who we judge, we're going to talk about that because in the Scripture, there are times when we do have to make judgments. Let's look over at Matthew as we look right now. Matthew, and we're going to look at chapter 7. Now, as we look at the beginning of this chapter, the Lord's going to have from his very lips some very stern instruction for us. Our Savior will be directing us on how to conduct ourselves in judgment. And that means also in reference to the faults of others. Also, you can see his expressions here as we read through these scriptures seem to be intended as a reproof at that time to the scribes and the Pharisees who were very rigid and severe in their judgments. But also we can apply them, of course, to us. Now Christ, though he made not himself a judge, yet came not to unmake them, for by him princes decree justice. Amen? But this is directed again towards those scribes and Pharisees, to his disciples and to us. Let's look at verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, the restriction the Lord is using here does not mean that a disciple never judges if we look through that. But, after all, we will see as we get to verse 6 and mentioned earlier, there is some judgment required. And so, in order to that, we need to obey him in certain ways. But I think the point of this verse is that a Christian should not have the spirit of criticism and fault-finding. In Luke chapter 6, I'm going to quote this to you, verse 37 says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." I always like the Living Bible at times, which really lays it out and says, never criticize or condemn, or it will all come back on you. So that tells us, that verse, you reap what you sow, amen? And in that language that we know, what goes around comes around, amen? So again, a stern warning by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of Judges, I want to tell you about chapter 1. We don't have to turn there. But it's one of those situations that you reap what you sow, and exactly what we're talking about in laying out judgment, and what goes around comes around. That was at the end of Joshua's life in the first chapter in the book of Judges. And it's a time where there is a conquest and a fighting on for the land of Canaan. And during that time, since the death of Joshua happened, the children of Israel calling out to the Lord, how do we win these battles? How are we going to get through this? And the Lord speaks to the children of Israel and says, through the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Simeon, because God had promised the land of Canaan would be taken. And during that time, there was a town in the territory of Judah called Bezek. And there was a king there. And during the time, many were slain. That town was taken over. And here, getting to verse 6 in Judges chapter 1, at that time, King Adonai Bezek fled. And they pursued him, and they caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. In verse 7, the king says, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off, used to gather scraps under my table, as I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. The same thing, same punishment he laid out, God had repaid him right back at him. So again, a situation in the Bible, an instance in the Bible, that shows that God is in control and we reap what we sow. Now, let's move on to verse 3. And, the Lord continues, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank, or I like to say beam, in your own eye? I think the Lord is saying something like the sawdust in other eyes and the redwood tree in ours. And again, I think the log represents the spirit of criticism and prejudice. And again, with that clouding our judgment, we are in no position to judge. James 5:9 in the Living Bible says, now listen to this. Don't grumble about each other, brothers. Are you yourselves above criticism? The great judge is coming. He is almost here. Let him do whatever criticizing must be done. Let's move on. Verse 4. Or, Jesus says, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Verse 5. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You know, I looked at that word hypocrite in verse 5 in about 7 translations, and there just isn't any other word Lord lays it out and says, hypocrite. And it's plain and simple. As he talks to his scribes and Pharisees that are there and his disciples and us. And again, giving a stern warning. And I think the sentiment is that the readiest way to judge of the imperfections of others is to be free from those imperfections of ourselves. And again, I think it always comes back to looking over a situation we're about to judge and to take it to prayer before we commit ourselves. Very important. Now, as we look to verse 6, it gets interesting because, as I mentioned earlier, in Matthew 7, verse 6, here comes a time where it looks like we have to make a judgment. Jesus says, now, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now, the reference to dogs and swine refer to people who are enemies of the gospel here, as opposed to those who are merely unbelievers. And the Bible says such enemies are to be left alone, that we are to stay away from them. Jump down to verse 15 here. And here's a little more explanation that expands on the definition of what the Lord's talking about here. He says in verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. There's a quote by a Dr. James McKinley that says, I'm not a judge, but I'm a fruit inspector. And I think that falls into our line too. But we have to know by being fruit inspectors, again, that I cannot stress enough that we always need to take it to the Lord first. Amen? I mean, when we have these situations, and they come every day, where we have an issue where we're about to judge something, do we stop every time and take it to the Lord? I don't think so. Not every time. And that's a thing that can continue in our lives, and we can fall into a trap and become more and more that we become an authority and not take it to the Lord. And then we fall into that trouble. You know, that's a great verse that says we know them by their fruit. But then I think we fall into that area that we judge about, well, how much fruit do they have to have? Amen? You know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody can confess the Lord Jesus Christ to you, but then they may go golfing on Sunday, so maybe we say, well, you know, they really don't have much fruit, and then we judge them on that. We don't know. We don't know their life that much. You know, I think about the thief on the cross. Now, I don't think that man had much fruit before he died, do you? I don't think there was any that we know of. But I'll tell you, those moments before he died, what he confessed to the Lord, the fruit came afterwards and will live forever as we read those scriptures and the testimony of that thief on the cross. So you see, we don't always know, do we? So again, we have to be careful. You know, I look at my wife's dad, and he had a rough life. And a life where he didn't go to church and had a different way about him. And the family always was suspect, the ones that were Christian. And we got to get him to know the Lord. We got to get him to know the Lord. We all been there. We want our family members to know the Lord. So we're trying to witness to them. Well, he started to confess the Lord Jesus Christ when he was in the hospital. Linda would say, who's God? He'd say, Jesus. He had no hesitation. And it went on and on. And we know from the bottom of our heart that this man knows the Lord. And he died about a year ago, October. We have a peace of mind. Now, he didn't have a lot of fruit in his life. But it's a situation to me here. I'm talking about it right now. The fruit is still going. You see what I'm saying? So again, we have to be careful on how we approach people and the attitude that we have. My brother was the same way. On his deathbed, as he laid there dying, the only word he could say was Jesus. 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 I have a peace of mind about that. I'm not going to be judgmental. God is the judge, amen? And he will form every work. And he will look at everyone. We need to be very careful on who we look at and who we think. And at the very least, and the very most, when we have a concern for a brother or sister, let's not take that attitude. Let's just pray for them and be a witness to them. Amen? That's the attitude that Christ is telling us that he wants us to have. Now, as we look at the scriptures that we just did, and we have to beware of false prophets and these wolves in sheep's clothing, God gives us the answer of what I'm trying to say right now. Let's look at verse 7. How do we know those that we have to judge and we have to be careful of? Well, it comes right to prayer. Verse 7 in Matthew chapter 7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who asks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." So there's that spiritual discernment, amen, that if we ask the Lord when we come into situations, instead of just forming an opinion, the Lord, I'm concerned about this situation. I'm concerned about this brother at work or this sister at work. Lord, help me with that. How should I pray to you? Instead of going to your brother at church and just making an opinion about it. You see what I'm saying? We need to be very careful. I think the Lord is making it very aware of the traps that we can get in and how we need to be very careful. I want to read to you from the utmost of the highest, Oswald Chambers, the daily bread that is of today's daily bread. And it's called The Unchanging Law of Judgment. This statement is not some haphazard theory, but it is an eternal law of God. Whatever judgment you give will be the very way you are judged. There is a difference between retaliation and retribution. Jesus said that the basis of life is retribution. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. If you have been shrewd in finding out the shortcomings of others, remember that will be exactly how you will be measured. The way you pay is the way life will pay you back. The eternal law works from God's throne to us, down to us. Romans 2:1 applies it in even a more definite way by saying that the one who criticizes another is guilty of the very same thing. God looks not only at the act itself, but also at the possibility of committing it, which he sees by looking at our hearts. To begin with, we do not believe the statements of the Bible. For instance, do we really believe the statement that says we criticize in others the very things we are guilty of ourselves? The reason we see hypocrisy, deceit, and the lack of genuineness in others is that they are all in our hearts. The greatest characteristic of a saint is humility, as evidenced by being able to say honestly and humbly, yes, all those as well as other evils would have been exhibited in me if it were not for the grace of God. Therefore, I have no right to judge. Jesus said, as we just read, judge not that you be not judged. He went on to say, in effect, if you do judge, you will be judged in the exact same way. Who of us would dare to stand before God and say, my God, judge me as I have judged others? We have judged others as sinners. If God should judge us in the same way, we would be condemned to hell. Yet God judges us on the basis of the miraculous atonement by the cross of Christ. Amen? So again, a stern warning for us to daily be encouraged by the Lord that yes, we do live differently, and we are to live up to the life of Christ and the way He wants us to do, and not be as the world is. Amen? To look at Christ and see ongoing His rules for us, that we can be better Christians. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. But we do need to submit one to another. Yes, all of you be subject one to another. But here's the key, be clothed in humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Amen? Scripture just always lays it out to us, doesn't it? Every single time. You know, in the end, with God, and as I mentioned from the beginning, our attitude and approach in everything we do, it's about His mercy and His grace and His love. And God always gives way to mercy, doesn't He? Every single time. And He pleads with us to do the same. I know you all remember that story of the Pharisees that were about to stone that adulterous woman. And I'm picturing that movie, The Passion, and there was a scene in there, if you remember, if you've seen that. If you haven't seen that, get the DVD, will you? Because it's a great movie on our Lord Jesus. But there's a scene, and I think Mel Gibson portrayed it beautifully, where those Pharisees were lined up and they had those stones in their hand. And then in John chapter 8, Jesus says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And what did they do? They all just kind of dropped their stones. And Jesus turned to that adulterous woman. And He said, woman, where are your accusers? Do they condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. And what did Jesus say? I don't condemn you either. Go away and sin no more. No condemnation. Just love and prayer. And that's how the answer gets through. Us being that witness where we aren't judgmental and judging, but instead turning that around and praying for that person and not forming that opinion. Because my friends, you just don't know. Other than dealing with your spouse or your children, you start to hear things about friends and family and people at church, and it turns into gossip. And we start to believe, and then we pass it on. And think of the damage that is done when that kind of thing happens. Because most likely it's not true. There is so much that goes on in our lives that, again, we have to be very, very careful. So I say we make sure when we are concerned about a brother or sister or a situation, if we're going to get into that and the Lord wants us to get into it, that we make sure we have all our information right. You see what I'm saying? That we just don't hear a word about this brother or that brother and then form the opinion. If you're going to be concerned about that, and if it's a close person, go to them and talk to them. And say, you know, I'm concerned. I've heard this about you. I mean, be one-on-one with them. And I bet there's times that person say, you know what, you got that story all wrong. Instead of turning that table and not going to that person, passing it on, say, you know, I heard about this. Make this person, you know, might not know Lord, or they're doing this. Saw them on the golf course. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of situations that we enter that we need to be very, very careful. At the end of the day, we are called to prayer. And the judging part, for the most part, it is always better to let God be the judge because He knows how to do it. And there's always that verse, God only says, and vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He is the judge. But we need to leave it up to Him. Always approach by going to the basics of being a Christian with love. Let's look at these last verses in the book of Romans, chapter 14. God really speaks direct to us, doesn't He? I mean, when you want an answer about something, it's in here. And we just need to find it. And here we look at the book of Romans, chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 7. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died, and rose and lived again, that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another any more, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Oh, what a difference we can make, brothers and sisters, if we look at life the way Christ wants us to. Our heart is heavily for the unsaved, amen? And that goes to prayer. To not have that attitude of judgment, which I've been praying for myself not to have. It's so easy to do that, isn't it? It's so easy to start forming opinions. But if we just take it to the Lord, like we should in everything, that we take to the Lord and let Him take control of that situation. We pray for those that are unsaved. And I'll tell you, it's not us. We're not the ones that are going to make it happen. The Holy Spirit makes these things happen. Amen? Why don't we pray? Oh, Lord, we thank You so much for your heart, Lord, Your Scriptures. In a tough conviction, Lord, as we look at the rules that You give us, the guidelines in our lives, and it hits home, Lord, because we all fall into certain traps in life. We have to realize that no matter what we do, no matter what issue that we have, we've got to approach it in love. Because we can see the ramifications, Lord, in Your Word, through Your very lips, to tell us to be very careful. That we see, and it's so true in our lives, that we reap what we sow. We thank You that You give us Your Word, Lord, that You give us the instruction. And may You give us strength to follow the guidelines that You have for us, so we can be witnesses for You. That we are not a clique type of a group, that we're not, oh, we're Christians. It's just that we love You, Lord, and that we want to share that with other people. Lord, it's the last thing we want to do where we go around to family members or people at work and begin to talk down about other people or judge other people. And people start to look at us, Lord, and say, well, I don't want to hang around him. He's always down on somebody or judging somebody. That's the last thing we want, Father. Give us that strength to be the witnesses that You want. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we get one more song? Danny, are you out there? There he is. I didn't even say anything to you, but you got one dreamed up for us? Great. Amen. While we stand. Boy, that is a great song to know that our spirit does need to yield to Him. Amen. We need to constantly yield to the Lord Jesus. When we have those tough times, when we face those issues, that we want to be judgmental or judge someone, we need to really back off and pray. I know when you prepare messages, and one of the scriptures that we read here is that teachers are even more suspect, that are going to be more held accountable. And for those that you teach, and for me tonight, you know, I'm speaking to myself just as much. But it's a hard issue as times go and the trouble in this world continues to get worse and worse. But we need to always look back at what would Jesus do, amen? That He would tell us to pray and let Him do that judging, amen? Now may the God of peace that brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete to do His will and make you more pleasing in His sight. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. In Jesus' name, amen.